Blog Talk Radio.
It's some scripture out. It's some filter out. It's some talk. Damn censor. It's some scripture out. It's some filter.
been worrying about you. You don't seem to face the truth, and it just seems to come through in every little thing you do. Yeah, be my lucky do, yeah. Your life has changed, and you've had to rearrange. Yes, I know this causes pain, which is why you need.
But it rains at the same time. One of those days, I pretend that I am, but I'm not fine. It's one of those days, I couldn't get up if I wanted to. It's all of this weight on me. It's one of those days, I look in the mirror, I don't know myself. One of those days, I just wanna disappear. It's one of those days when I wanna give up, give in to impossible. I tried to be the hero, but I ended up the fool. Is it okay if I fall apart? Okay if I don't bounce back? I'll be okay, I just need a minute to be by myself. It's one of those days, I swear I'm gonna lose it. It's one of those days, I
Talk Box. Hi, and welcome to, oh my goodness, another Talk Wednesday on the Naked Talk with Alex Kersey. And goodness gracious, maybe for some reason our prayers to the God of technology obviously didn't work, didn't go through, because we have been, you know how it is, you know, struggling to get in. And I've been here, but we've been having some technical issues. So I want to apologize. Wherever you're listening from around the world, if you're just joining us or you've been here, I just want to say welcome to The Naked Talk. My name is Alex Kersey. You're listening to The Queen of Expression, and I'm coming to you live all the way from Lagos, Nigeria, in the heart of Africa. So, yes, well, this is The Naked Talk, and you know how we keep it on the show. You know, it's pretty unscripted, uncensored, uncut. And we do not apologize for, how we feel and our experiences. And, we believe expression is a sign of strength and not weakness. And, I'm very excited. It's another Talk Wednesday. I know my guest has been here. He's been here since. And I know he's right here in the virtual studio. And I'm absolutely looking forward to a great conversation with him. So, guys, hey, you know, today is all about how to stop talking to heal your relationship. And I cannot wait to get into that conversation with my guest. But just before we get into today's conversation, if you missed the last conversation right here on The Naked Talk, well, I have with me my very amazing special guest on Soul Saturday, Tony Chen, multiple award-winning musician, music composer, and voice actor, who joined me live all the way from California in the USA. And, of course, we had a great conversation about inspiring the world with music. And, you know, it was just nice to have Tony here. We talked about Falun Gong and just, you know, all his work, his amazing work, you know, his amazing accomplishment, and just why he chose to do the kind of music that he does, and just, you know, the story behind his transformation, you know, how he fell in love with it, and him leaving, you know, Beijing to come all the way to the U.S., and just, you know, just how his music basically has been creating a lot of, you know, inspiring and motivating people around the world. So if you missed that conversation with Tony Chen on Soul Saturday, don't forget, all our shows are archived 24/7. So yes, you can catch all our shows right here on the radio channel on Blog Talk Radio, or you can listen to our show. Our show is syndicated all over your internet radio. We're on 12 global networks, so you have no reason whatsoever to miss any conversation with any of our special guests. And yes, I had Azuka Zuki will be as well on Talk Wednesday, on Friday Radio Special. And you know, we had a very great conversation, and we gave you the power to excel. And it was nice to have him. He's a motivational doctor, an author of 7 books. It was really great. You know, as a comedian, he dropped some value bombs as well on the show, and just basically shared with us all the amazing things that we need to do to be able to gain the power for ourselves. So, today's show is brought to you by amazing friends at Global Royal. Now, Global Royal is all about giving to you the lifestyle. And of course, if you've ever dreamt about owning your own home or just having that lifestyle that you desire, then you should head on right after the show to their official website, and you can go to globalroyal.biz. Now, Global Royal is GlobalRoyale. So it's Royal with an E, .biz. And of course, you can find out more about them and tap into their amazing portfolios, so that you can get, you know, that lifestyle that you truly desire. And let's not forget our amazing friends at Zinchen Naturals. Now, Zinchen Naturals is all about bringing to you the finest quality of beauty products made from the finest organic, natural, natural fruits and vegetables. And if you've ever worried about, you know, putting, you know, chemicals in your skin and just the stuff that you use in your body, then you don't have to worry with Zinchen Naturals, because it's all natural. And I was, you know, I've been talking all season about their amazing self-care package they sent me. And, you know, I even gave out my coconut tree, right, on the show. But, yes, you can find out more about Zinchen Naturals if you go to their official Instagram page. And if you go to Instagram.com/Zinchen, ZINCHANATURALS, so natural with an S, natural with an S. No, just say you're from me. Just say you're from Alex, and they will hook you up big time. So, yes. You know, just still giving a shout out to our amazing friends at the Jamieson Group. And the Jamieson Group is getting ready to, you know, put together their amazing program called You Can Depend on You. And if you want to find out more about the Jamieson Group and, of course, the head honcho herself and queen motivator, inspirator, I like to call her inspirator, Sharon Jamieson, you can find out more if you go to her official website at www.sharon, jamison.com and find out more about You Kansas Hand in You. And she is an award-winning author, a global speaker, and, you know, she's a life strategist. And, oh, my God, she drops jewels and bombs. And if you missed, you know, if you for any reason missed, you know, the conversation with Jamison, to one of our top 20, and you can catch it right there. And she, you know, gave you the, you know, went from power to pain and how you two can do the same. So today on the show, yes, on TNT 98, what if there was a new approach to communication and relationship management that clearly shows why the traditional talk therapy is kind of like relationship suicide? Now, today's guest has saved thousands of relationships from the dead zone and teaches people how to stop talking in order to communicate better, heal their relationships, and even their health. Now, I'm very excited to have with me my very special guest who's joining me live all the way. He is an on-talk therapist, a relationship coach, and author, Phil DeLuca, who's joining me live all the way from the USA as we explore how to communicate better in our relationships. Welcome, Phil. It's nice to have you here on the Naked Talk.
Oh, thank you. It's wonderful to be here.
First of all, I kind of just really need to apologize. I know you've been waiting for so long, and, you know, I'm coming to you live all the way from Nigeria, and, you know, we're in Africa, and we get a pass sometimes, you know, for the technology.
No, that's no problem.
So, you know, but, you know, I'm glad that you're here and that you're still here, and I know that people have been excited. Like, everyone's been asking me, you know, sending me questions, and they're kind of, like, really interested, you know, totally intrigued about, you know, this entire on-talk, you know, therapy. But just before we get into today's conversation, I know that Phil is all the way in the U.S., and, you know, what is the weather like where you are right now?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
You know, I said I know you're all the way in the U.S., but what is the weather like where you are right now?
Okay, I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina. We have a nice fall weather. It's in the upper 50s, beautiful, beautiful day. We've had a very warm fall, been very nice.
Oh, wow. Oh, well, you know, my day's been very hot. It's very hot right here in Lagos. So I would really love to switch places right now.
Yeah, I have a fireplace at night. I put it on, cuddle around the fireplace with my wife, watch TV a little, and tell each other how much we love each other and appreciate each other. It's nice, very nice.
Wow. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Phil. You know, just for the sake of those who are kind of getting to know you for the first time, especially here in Africa, right? And have not had the privilege to sort of, you know, stumble on your work, you know, and get to meet you, and they're meeting you for the first time. You know, who would you say Phil really is? I mean, how would you describe yourself?
Well, you know, I've been doing this 40 years, so I've seen about 40,000 people with relationship issues. And it's always, when I was a youngster, and I was a teenager, and I was seeing people getting together and breaking up, and it always bothered me. I was like, why are they fighting so much? They have such a good thing. And you know, since I was, since I wasn't very well with doing very well with on dating scene, like I couldn't get a date, I was really envious of them and saying, man, you got a good thing here. You know, I wish I was in your shape. Why do you gotta, what are you doing to break it up? So it started me kind of picking away at, why is it that people don't get along? Well, you know, what's with the conflict thing? Since that seems to be the greatest thing, that the most common thing that divides people. So, went to postgraduate training, went to graduate school, got my clinical social work degree, and then I went to postgraduate training in marriage and family therapy. And you know, as soon as I got out of therapy and started doing therapy, what I discovered was the conventional approaches, communication approaches, which were then kind of coming into vogue, express yourself, be honest and open about how you feel, no secrets, that doesn't sound familiar, express your anger, repressed anger is a killer, and always go to, always deal with the problem now, never go to bed mad at each other. Do they sound familiar?
They
gathered momentum, and now they become like settled science. Nobody even questions them. Matter of fact, I was talking to a physician recently, and you know, he was using these techniques on with his wife, and it was just exploding. And I, you know, so when I told him some of the the things I was talking about, hey, those are the worst things, and here's an alternative. He said, you know, I thought that's all there was. I thought that's all you had. That's what you had to do. Tell them how you feel. Get on, be honest and open about your grudges and your resentments and your anger. So what I discovered was they didn't work. As a matter of fact, in my own life, when I was using them, my situation was getting even worse. And then when I was trying that with my clientele, they were getting worse. And so I was like, there's something wrong here. Either I'm crazy and everybody else is right, or I'm right and all my peers got it wrong. So I pretty much set out trying to figure out what the heck was going on. Why were these things causing more problems than they were fixing? And so over the next 40 years, I kind of tweaked it and tweaked it and tweaked it and came up with an alternative that is quick. Like when people walk in and have conflict, I can stop it right there, because what happens is people usually, this conflict develops for a variety of reasons, which we could go into, which we'll go into, but it develops and then it comes to a peak, and usually people wait to get help when it's really bad. And I discovered there's what's called the dead zone out there, where things get so bad that there's no caring left. So even if they fix the problem, it doesn't matter. I don't love you anymore. All I want to do is be away from you. So the dead zone was the thing that scared me most, because sometimes people were one disagreement or argument away from getting to that point. And once they got to that point, it was all over. It didn't matter what I pulled out of my hat. Nothing was going to change, fix that. So I focused on how to reduce conflict. And even more, I had to get it. I had to stop the conflict in that session. I didn't have two sessions to go. When they came in, I had to assume they were one step away from this dead zone, and I had to stop it right there. When they walked out of that office, if they followed my very simple instructions, and that's another thing, I had to make it very simple and concrete, too complicated, and you know, keep it simple, stupid is my philosophy. That's the only way I get things. So I had to make it very simple and quick and easy to implement and also grasp. So what I found was if I could get people to stop the conflict right there, then relationships will start healing frequently by themselves. Sometimes it takes little effort, but usually people start, if you eliminate the conflict, they start laughing together, they start talking together, they start resolving issues that they've been hitting a wall against and bouncing off, and they start recovering. So that's what I did. I developed an alternative approach to communication, express yourself model, which, and basically it's, I call it untalk, because I teach people, and this sounds but I teach people not to talk in order to fix their problems. Doesn't that sound crazy? How do we talk? Not talk. Don't talk to each other, and we're going to fix our problems. Does that sound crazy or what? So, and I also call it untalk and untherapy, because it's, I don't do the therapy for the people, but I teach people the skills to how to fix, so they don't need me anymore. You know, they don't have to spend a lot of money. They don't have to spend years. They, when they have problems, they don't have to come back, but here's the skills. I just was like a coach. I showed you a few things, guided you along your way, and now you're hitting the ball out of the ballpark. So that's what my approach does. I teach people how to not talk to fix their problems, and that can be, let me tell you, that can be a real bugaboo, because people are holding on to that idea. You got to express yourself, every little nuance, every pet peeve, every grudge, anything that's happened in the last 20 years. When you're upset, you got to vomit it out on the other party. So that can be a tough call. But, you know, I developed something over the years that works really fast. The other thing that was happening as I was developing this was, I'm 65, so I started in my 50s. I started having health problems. Premature memory loss, and also rheumatoid arthritis. Both of them were spreading fast. So what I looked into alternative health, holistic health, And I started actually curing myself of these, and now I have no memory loss, and probably my arthritis is 98% gone. So through what I learned was the same thing, the inflammation process that is causing my health problems, and all health problems, inflammation is at the base of all health problems. You eliminate inflammation, you pretty much eliminated all disease. And so what I learned when I got a handle on my inflammation and saw the science behind it, it was the same thing that was causing our communication snafus. Because the fight or flight response is what happens when we get upset. We go into the fight or flight response. Blood reroutes from our thinking front brain, our cerebral cortex, which is the seat, it's in the front of our brain ahead. It's abstract thinking, higher learning, memory, love, spirituality. And it reroutes to the back of our brain, which is the amygdala, and I call it, it's our survival brain, or I call it our crocodile brain, because it's the very same brain that we share with the lower life forms, like the crocodiles.
Mm-hmm.
And so what happens is when it reroutes from our front brain to our back brain, there's a series of changes that occur that have profound impact on our physiology, our perception, our moods, and our relationships, and even how our brain wires itself. So when I discovered these changes that were going on, and the same thing that fixed my health could fix communication and relationships and love, restore love, it restores our health and our love, I put it all together, tweaked it over the next 20, 30 years, and voila, came out with this approach that says, hey, if you're using conventional communication approaches, express yourself, and they're not working, try this approach, and there's a good chance it will stop the downward spiral and start you towards healing on multi-levels. Restore peace, restore love, caring, sex returns, communication improves, and your physical health improves. So that's a little
okay.
That's a little my shtick.
You know, Phil, I'm very intrigued. And if you notice, I've been quiet, which is a bit really weird because I'm usually the very talky person ever. And, you know, I'm totally intrigued. And I'm like, oh my God. You know, there's just so many things playing up in my head.
Okay, well,
so
put them out there.
I mean, I'm glad that you shared with me how basically you kind of stumbled and, you know, discovered this sort of new science of communication, right?
Yes.
But let me ask you, and this is just for the, you know, for the average person who's trying to catch up on this and is still trying to understand all of it. So here's what you're saying. I'm trying to get now, what would you say is the real difference, right, between
yes.
what we call the conventional talk therapy or the traditional talk therapy and your on-talk therapy?
Okay, can I ask you a series of questions and lead you to the answer? Is that okay?
Okay.
All right,
okay,
so let me.
That's fine.
Have you ever noticed when somebody's calm, take a loved one, and then they get upset? It's like two different creatures exist. It's like an alien enters into their body, and you're like, who the heck is this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything
mm-hmm.
changes about them. And then something will happen. Maybe they'll laugh or something, and they'll snap out of it, and the alien
mm-hmm.
leaves, and the person returns. And then they'll get upset about something maybe later in the day, and the alien's back in there. What the heck is going on? This is like a different person. I don't know this person.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's my wife back. She's back to her normal self. Have you ever seen that in somebody? Have you ever seen it in yourself?
Well, I used to see that probably in myself.
Yeah, we all have that. Anyway, so let me ask you a question. Have you ever noticed when you look at this alien? Let's take a look at this alien. What
mm-hmm.
what exists inside of it? Have you ever noticed that when you try to appeal to their logic, your logic is twisted into pretzels? When you appeal to them to stay calm, they shout back, "I am calm,"
mm-hmm.
spitting all over
mm-hmm.
you, and their lung, their veins sticking out of their neck, and their eyes bulging out. They bring up topics that are old and irrelevant, perhaps by decades. All right. Do you ever wonder how they know exactly what and how to say to push your buttons?
Buttons. Sure.
Right. They know exactly what to say to hurt me. And the slightest problem is seen as the end of the world. They see things in terms of black and white, catastrophic. You never, a slight problem is seen as the end of the world. And you're like, hey, it's no big deal. You're acting like it's the end of the world. When you try to decide, to end a discussion because an argument is imminent, they won't let you leave. If you go into another room, they'll follow you. If you close the door, they barge in. If you lock the door, they bang on it, scream through it, and try to break it down. If you leave the house, they threaten to change the locks. If you leave, it'll be all over. Or if they'll guilt you, go ahead, run from it. You'll be divorced just like that loser mother of yours who's been divorced three times. And if you actually garnish enough courage to leave the house, they'll follow you outside a lot of times. If you go for a walk, they'll walk alongside of you, continuing the argument, or behind you, shouting at you. If you go for a drive, they'll attack the car. Sometimes they'll drive with you. They'll run next to the car, screaming at you. I've had women who have jumped on cars and hung on to the windshield as he was driving through the housing development, trying to escape from her so he wouldn't get into an argument. And of course the men, they wouldn't do that. So that's too unmanly. They'll just take a bat or a rock and smash in the windows or dent the fenders. That's more manly. You know, they wouldn't be caught dead hanging onto a windshield. And so the question is, why are they trying so hard to keep you from escaping? Have you ever thought about that? Why won't they just let this lie? I'm trying to prevent something bad from happening, something that we're going to get into an argument. Bad things are going to be said, and we'll maybe not get over it for weeks or months, maybe never. Hello, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hear me?
Okay, I can hear you now. Yes.
Okay, great. I'm totally like, you know, I'm just, first of all, you described this monster, right? Should I call, you know, a monster or the alien, right?
Yes.
And you described this alien in a very, very intriguing way. And I'm just like, I'm sure that a lot of the listeners can definitely relate to just who you're talking about. Is this either some, you know, in someone they know or themselves, right? And I'm just totally like my own. But you know, here's what's coming to my head. So I kind of gained and like me as a person, I really like, you know, in the last couple of years, maybe say 3 years, I'm not expressive. I mean, I am expressive, and I believe in expression, but I feel like it doesn't have to be verbal or vocal in a sense, right? So I don't have to pretty much say every, especially when I'm upset or when I'm angry or when I'm disappointed. I feel like I've sort of learned how to, especially at that particular moment when I'm hurt, quiet. So let's end this, though. What would you say is probably the biggest communication mistake?
Yeah, last sentence. I lost you right there. Yes, could you repeat that last part? I just lost you that last part. It broke up. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Do you hear me?
I hear you good now, yes.
Okay. You know, we're having a little bit of technical issues. Sorry, we've been struggling with this all. But I would say that, you know, what would you say is the biggest miscommunication, misstep, or should I say mistake that people make in their relationships?
Well, let's go back to the alien. You don't want to talk when you're in the alien state, because what happens is that's actually the fight or flight response that's kicking in. And that heartbeat, you feel the blood pressure rising. That's all the physiological changes that are going on, because the body is perceiving a threat to our survival. But it's no survival. The person just didn't take out the garbage again the right way. It's not life and death, but the body's activated this survival mechanism, and it's rerouted blood. Here's the interesting biology behind this, the science behind it. Blood has been rerouted now from our thinking brain. The more upset we get, the more the blood gets rerouted from our front thinking, logic, cooperative seeking brain to our back combative, provocative, conflict-driven brain. And we lose up to 80% of our blood. That's why you can't be logical with a person who's upset. They twist everything into pretzels. They can't use their front brain, their thinking brain. It's like falling asleep on a limb. You can't use it until blood flow returns. So the worst thing you want to do when you're in that state is get in touch with your anger, be honest and open about how you feel, and deal with the problem then and there. The very opposite of what we're being told to do. We're being told to deal with it while you're in this alien state. Well, all we want to do in this alien state is seek conflict, because the body is now perceiving the other party is about to eat us, and we need to protect ourselves from being a meal. That's what's actually going on. That's the change between when they're calm and when they're the alien is in them, when they're upset. You see the difference? This is the two parts of the brain. And if you've ever been upset and had this internal dialogue going on, now stay calm. You know, this is going to have real bad consequences if you say something wrong. And then you hear another voice and you say, no, I want to do it right now.
What the heck?
Yes. That's the two parts of the brain actually talking to each other. Believe it or not, you're not hallucinating. That's actually two parts of the brain talking to each other. And then they have what's called crocodile hijack, where as the blood keeps rising to the survival brain, which is right behind our ears, by the way, and it's the same thing we share with all the animals out there. You've seen two cats circling each other with the fur up. That's what happens to us when this gets activated. Matter of fact, one of the physiological changes is the hair on our neck actually stands up. So what happens is you have what's called this, I call crocodile hijack. The science name for it is amygdala hijack, where that internal dialogue goes on. And as the stress keeps rising, the blood keeps getting rerouted from the front calm brain to the back brain, which turns into like the Hulk. And then you have it overrides your front thinking brain. And then what happens at that point, people know they're there, because what they say is, it's when I get to that point, it's like I could see the words coming out of my mouth, but I can't stop it. It's like a film of my life unfolding in front of me, but I can't do anything about it. I'm a helpless participant. That is crocodile brain hijack. Have you ever been there, Alex, in that place where you've actually saw yourself saying and doing stuff, but you couldn't stop it?
Absolutely.
Me too.
Yes.
I mean, we all do that. Yes. Mm-hmm. So the worst thing you want to do is communicate when you're in that state, because you're not interested in changing anything to the construction, resolving anything constructively. We're only interested in survival. We perceive the other party out to harm us, and therefore we need to harm them back. That's why when people get upset, we seek to hurt them. Things. It's like we're drowning and just they come out to rescue us and we're standing on their head in order to keep from drowning. In the meantime, we both go down. So that's why I call it untalk. I teach people how to identify when they're going in that state, the heart pumping hard, your sinuses flushing, your blood pressure rising, and then you need to get away. I have to teach people a new skill. Get away, get calmer, go into another room, close the door, because you want to put a wall between you and the other party so that your survival brain stands down. You know, if you got a wall there, it's less of a threat. If there's no wall, if you're going to be in the room and you're going to count to 10, that doesn't work. I've never heard anybody say that works. As a matter of fact, what they do is they'll say, you go to a therapist, in traditional therapy, we'll say, count to 10 before you say anything. 5, 10, and then you say it. They're not going to do that. So you got to get away. You got to let this brain know, calm down. You're not in imminent threat. You're not going to be eaten by a raptor. calm down. So and there's a lot of things you could do to calm it down. Exercise is great. Music, comedy, reading a book, getting invested in a hobby, something that reroutes blood from your back brain to your thinking brain, something that requires thinking, calming, meditating, prayer, whatever it is. And now that you're calmer and you're thinking things through, then you re-engage with the other party and then you talk about it in a conflict-resolving mindset. Have you noticed after this passes, we feel regrets, guilt, shame? Those are all the front brain then. What happens is we calm down. The front brain starts getting blood flow again, clicks back on. It goes from 20, it's like an arm that suddenly, you know, you fell asleep on and suddenly the tingling starts and then you can use it. So now we can start using our front brain. That's the sign that it's coming back. Guilt, shame, conscience, long-term perspective, logic. So the front brain's coming back now. And that's the time. That's why we feel guilt, shame, and all these negative costs that we have, because we don't like acting that way in this crocodile brain. It's something degrading to us as human beings. People say, you know, when I get into this state, I feel like an animal. It's so degrading. It's so disrespectful. I'm a human being. I'm not an animal in the mire, turning around, slopping around. So there's something degrading to us to be in this state. That's the guilt. That's the shame. Then get back around the other party. And then, you know, you frequently, not always, frequently, a lot of the issues are gone. It's like, no, it's not even worth getting upset over. It was so mundane and so irrelevant. Why even bring it up? But everything when we're in this crocodile brain is life-threatening. Because think about this. If survival is at stake, you have to win. Have you noticed whenever we're upset, everybody's got to win? There's a right and a wrong. I'm right, you're wrong. We have to win. We have to be in control of the argument. We've got to dominate. Well, think about this from survival terms. You're just about to be eaten. You're in a death battle or perceiving to be a death battle. You better be right, because if you're wrong one time, you're somebody else's meal. So you have to be right at all times. Survival's at stake. We have to win. We have to be in control of the interaction and dominate, because that's how you keep the enemy from getting the upper hand. That's why when people are never wrong when they argue, that's why we have to win. We, quote, always have to win, always have to be right. You think you're always telling the truth. We always think we're telling the truth when we're upset, because that's our mindset. So one of the things I try to show people is that there's a time and a place. You know, Aristotle, my goal in therapy is to help people. I use Aristotle as the goal. He said, anybody can become angry. That is easy. But to be angry at the right place, at the right time, with the right person, to the right degree, for the right purpose, that's not so easy. So he says be very selective and make it purpose-driven, good purpose-driven, closeness-driven, driven. There's a big difference. Front brain, thinking, genius brain is health, constructive, intimate, closeness, love-driven. Back brain, crocodile brain is destruction, protect, survival, destroy. So which one of these you want to be communicating through? You can't have both. They're at cross purposes. If you're in one, you're going to go in one direction. If you're in another, you're going to go in another direction. So I try to teach people, for the fighters who want to engage when they're upset, I try to teach them a pause switch there and then re-engage when you're calmer. For the flighters they just run the slightest conflict, they're out of there. It's like, feet don't fail me now, I'm gone. So I teach them also to put a pause switch in so that they don't run. So teach them to engage, and I teach the fighters to not engage. So that's basically it. Sounds a little like it's not very complicated, because people need something very simple and quick, because they're caught up in this emotional quagmire and they don't have, you know, they can't think things through very clearly. Judgments affected, their emotions overriding everything. They're filled with despair and a sense of worthlessness, because one of the things that occurs is as they try to use the conventional approaches. You know, I saw a couple yesterday in which they came in. They said, yeah, you're the fourth therapist we've been to. We're not happy with any of them. Every place we go, they tell us to talk about the issues, and then they ask, well, how do you feel? And how do you feel? And we end up leaving there more upset than we came in. And I said, yeah, that's exactly how it works. You know, you don't want to tell them. They're encouraging crocodile brain interaction, mm-hmm. you know, mm. fair fighting. And they said, the guy said, hey, I try to do fair fighting rules, but what happens is when I get upset, I cannot access those rules. They go out the window. Mm. And I said, that's exactly right, because your crocodile brain can't think, you know? So conventional approaches is teaching people rules to use when they're calm and expecting them to use it when they're upset. But that alien, they can't use that. Think of yourself when we, you know, just, the, you know, for your listeners, think of yourself when you get upset. All these things you said you weren't going to do. Don't use toxic words. Don't get in their face. Don't put a finger in their face. Can you do that when you're upset? I know I can't. I do those very things. You know, I pull them out of my hat. And then I put it in the other party's face. And then I'm sorry for the next 6 months. So, I found it's easier. I don't like being sorry. So I just don't do it. And then I don't have to apologize for something I didn't do and didn't mean or didn't mean. So that's basically what it is. And, you know, and so I teach people how to look at the cues and then how to identify how this is going on in their relationship and how to short circuit it. Now, here's another interesting thing that that no other approach has, and it's a major problem. And conventional approaches only push people into a no-win, a lose-lose corner, okay? So arguments start two ways. We go into crocodile brain and provoke the other one, right? Totally unknown or unaware. We're having a bad day, and we take it out on the other party. Or they go into crocodile brain, and they pull us in. And here's our dilemma, right? Does that sound familiar? And no matter what, here's our dilemma. So we come home, we're having a nice day, we're feeling good, and you open the door, and what do you see? You see them in crocodile brain. They're giving you the evil eye, the look of death, you know, snake eye. And now you know, your genius brain kicks on and says, uh-oh, Houston, we've got a problem here. I know they're upset, aka they're looking for conflict, an argument, and if they wanted to provoke an argument, and if I respond to their questions, we're going to get into an argument. And if I don't, they're going to escalate and follow me around and provoke and provoke and provoke until we get into it anyway. So I'm in a lose-lose situation, and if I don't deal with it now, I feel guilty because I'm running from the that from. Does that situation sound familiar at all, Alex?
Very familiar. I'm getting like a real aha moment right there.
Yeah, 95% of the people I see say that's a major problem in their relationship. You know, and I struggle with it too. So it's a common dilemma. So here's your problem. Conventional approaches say talk about it. Well, you know, if you talk about it, if you tell them how you feel, you know, I really don't like when I walk in, you jump all over me for something I didn't do. Well, what are they going to do? They're going to twist everything into a pretzel and pull you in so you get into an argument. Again, if you try to avoid that argument by saying, hey, this is not a good time to talk about it, what do? They say, yeah, you're just trying to run from the problem. You don't care. That's just proof you don't care. Well, you keep it up and we'll be divorced. And if you leave and you go out through that door, the door will be locked when you return. Well, that's a tough place to be, because I'm supposed to be talking about my problems, right? I'm supposed to be dealing with it now. And if I don't, I'm running from the problem. So I needed a solution to that problem, because that is a mega problem with couples that pushes them into the dead zone. Are you with me on this, Alex?
I am with you 100% in this.
Okay.
You know, just before we get into, more of the, I'm trying to take notes, actually. It's funny I'm doing this, but I'm so, I'm listening to you word for word. And, something you said that totally caught my attention was when, earlier you had kind of talked about, you kind of put this, let's say to this two people or this group or this, whoever it is going through this conflict into
yes.
two different groups, which is one is the fighter and the other is the flighter, if I got that correct.
Yes, and they tend to end up with each other too. They tend to end up with each other. Yes.
Exactly, because there's always somebody who's willing to go at the other person, and there's the other person who just wants to run away. And it's funny.
And then they feed. Excuse me, Alex. And then they feed on each other, because the fighter says, "Let's talk about it," and overwhelms the other party, who doesn't need much to be overwhelmed to begin with. And then, so they distance, and that puts the fighter into a vacuum mode, and they got to fill in the vacuum. So they're running. So they got to fight. They got to pursue them, and then they flee, and then they try to talk about it. Well, if you wouldn't get so upset, I can't deal with all this conflict, I wouldn't leave. Well, if you didn't leave, then I wouldn't have to vomit all over you. And so, and then they're caught in this, in this merry-go-round here that just spirals into, it just sucks everything out of them. But go ahead, I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No. It's great that we're having this conversation, and I think it's really important for us to kind of put this in perspective, right? I mean, and make it very even much easier for the listeners to understand. And I think that people can actually really put themselves into this situation. Like I said, it registered for me because I'm thinking about to my old relationship, right? And I'm thinking about, where I'm coming from, being divorced and all. And I'm starting to look at it and say, maybe there was a time when I was one of these two, right? And maybe I really probably, I could have really dealt with some of the issues in a different way. So I think it is so important that you're sharing this, because I think the first thing is, first of all, for us, as, whoever's listening, wherever they're listening from around the world, to say, okay, which one am I, and okay, which one is the other person I'm involved with, right? And either way, all shouldn't be talking at each other, and we all shouldn't be acting, when we're, like you said, when the alien takes over, when we're angry or upset, because then we're only going to make things worse. And while you were saying what you're saying, it just made me understand. I mean, there was one particular relationship, and I like to be, open, and there's one particular relationship where I kind of felt like, every time I wanted to talk about things, and this person just didn't want to talk, right? And, at some point I kind of felt like maybe I'm the evil, it kind of, you start to feel, like you said, you feel all sorts of things, guilt, shame, embarrassed, like if you feel like you're overpowering this other person, and this person, this man just doesn't really want to talk because he's worried he might, you guys are going to get into an argument, and when he doesn't talk, that kind of pisses you off more.
Yes.
What did you say?
Oh, yes.
So I'm, but I've also noticed something, again, maybe this also, I don't call it on-talk therapy, but I'm glad that there's a name for it, right? But I also noticed that, in the last couple of years, maybe in the last 2-3 years, I definitely do have a different approach to my own, resolving my own personal conflict, and which is, like you said, I would walk away, right, most times so I can calm down. I realize that I don't even, when I'm very upset, that's when I'm quiet, actually. Want to, distract myself with something else, and you did mention that, you could get involved, maybe listen to music or meditate or pray or get into work. Usually I would get myself doing stuff, like maybe cleaning the house or, sending emails or getting
something,
to work.
By the way, Alex, I want to say that music you had on when I was on hold qualified. It was beautiful music, and I was just sitting here, and I could feel my fight or flight response just relaxing. It was beautiful music.
Well, I'm glad, because I kind of like saved it for you, and I'm going to put it back on anyway, so when we get the musical break. But, I just, you know, I'm just I'm glad we're having this conversation, and I kind of just wanted to sort of reiterate that for the listeners, especially for those who are listening here in Africa, right, so that they can really understand just how important and valuable what you're sharing is, right, and how that they can apply that to their lives, right, and how they can see
yes.
themselves in any, because, again, it's one thing for people to say, oh, you know, I don't know what he's talking about, but the truth is we all do, because we've all been one of these two people. We've all been in a situation like that, and we've always felt like when we have issues, we want to deal with it right there and then. And you're saying, hey, if you're pissed off or you're angry or upset, maybe this is not the – maybe it's, you know, you can deal with it, but why don't you take a break, walk away? Why don't you calm down and cool down? Because right now you're not clear,
yes.
right? And
yes, actually, what you – I even say more. Excuse me. What I even say is more. If you talk in this state, because one of the changes that occurs is as blood gets rerouted to our black brain, our crocodile brain, we get combative. So we get provocative. We lose judgment skills. We have mood changes, attitude changes. Our thoughts get scrambled. So actually, it's not may, it is. When we talk from this state, everything about us, our looks, our tones, our gestures, our questions, they're all hooked. They're all made to provoke. So everything we do is provocative. That's why we cannot filter that out unless we have great self-control, and I this is what this approach does. It teaches people how to do that. So I say it will create more problems, and learn to control it first before you talk. But, you know, you mentioned there's people in Africa and all around. What I'm about to finish up is a free webinar that's going to talk about this. I'm going to walk people through, show them how to make changes, and then I'm going to offer for those interested in more advanced stuff a five-part webinar course at a very low cost. And so they'll be able to apply this if they're interested in more by just going on my site, and it'll be an online situation where they can listen to the free webinar, and then they can sign up for the course if they want it. They could share it with friends. They could talk about it with partners. They could do whatever they want with it. And if they have any further questions, they could, you know, email me or talk more with me. But that course should be enough for people, and that webinar will be very in-depth with a lot of pictures, and it'll be fun. I'm going to put on a mask that's going to have a crocodile head on it and all this stuff. It'll be fun. So if they're
amazing.
So did you have a question you wanted to ask me?
Well, I do have several questions, and I see some people dialed into the show. Again, if you want to, maybe you want to ask Phil a question, you've got a question for Phil, or you know, you've got a comment or something, don't forget that you should use your hand raising effect. You have to press 1 so we know that you want to speak, and then we can connect you into the conversation. Press 1 if you don't, we'll just think you're listening. Or you can, of course, tweet using hashtag The Naked Talk, or send your questions to hello@thenakedtalk.live. And we can get your questions right into the conversation. Phil, I know we kind of still have quite a bit of stuff to talk about, but let's do something. How about we take a quick musical break? I feel like we need a little bit of music in this house. And don't go anywhere. We'll be back. Now, this is It Okay by Danielle Taylor, and I think that's the song you're talking about that you probably love. So this is Danielle Taylor's Okay, and Danielle Taylor was a guest on the show, I think, a couple of weeks ago. Singer, songwriter, amazing, powerful singer. And, of course, we'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
One of those days when it's hot but it rains at the same time. One of those days I pretend that I am but I'm not fine. It's one of those days I couldn't get up if I wanted to. It's all of this weight on me. It's one of those days I look in the mirror, I don't know myself. One of those days I just wanna disappear. It's one of those days when I want to give up, give in to impossible. I tried to be the hero, but I ended up the fool. Is it okay if I fall apart? to be by myself. Gonna lose it. It's one of those days I just wanna cry. It's one of those days I miss my mom, I miss my dad. I'm looking back on everything I ever had. To be by myself. Sometimes it feels better.
And I am just, I'm coming to you live all the way from Lagos, Nigeria, in the heart of Africa. And yes, you're still listening to The Naked Talk with Alex Okorojie. And it's been a great conversation with my very special guest, Fielder Luker, who's joining me live all the way from North Carolina in the USA. And we've been having a great conversation, really, an amazing conversation about, you know, just how to stop talking to heal your relationship. And of course, he's been sharing with us his amazing untalk therapy and just how it works, and just, you know, just the difference between that and, you know, conventional talk therapy, and, you know, just the things we've been told to do, you know, when we are, you know, experiencing conflict with, you know, those we love. And, you know, and just, you know, it's been amazing that, you know, I've been getting really, like, you know, aha moments, and he's been definitely sharing some value bombs. So if you're just joining this conversation, don't forget that you can be part of the conversation. It is interactive, and of course you can call into the show. The number to call is +323-642-1693. And if you're calling from outside the U.S., don't forget, you +1-323-642-1693. Make sure to use your hand raising effect. Press 1 so we know where you want to speak. Or you can use the live Skype button right on top of your player to call in for free. Of course, you know, tweet using hashtag TheNakedTalk. Now, I know that our in-studio chat room is not open this season. It's crazy. I mean, we've been having some, you know, what? But, you know, I'm great that, you know, our amazing guest is here, and he's been just so amazing, just sharing quite a bit more about on Talk Therapy. Hi, Phil. Welcome back. Welcome back from the musical break.
Listen, I'm really enjoying this a lot. It's fun.
Okay. Well, you know, just before Wentz and that, you know, on the break, you know, you've been talking about just, you know, you shipped quite a number of stuff. And I wanted to, you know, I've been taking so many notes. I can't wait to, you know, for that webinar to, you know, for you to, you know, bring out the webinar and the e-course and all those things, because I definitely need to, you know, definitely need to understand just how this works and how I can, you know, apply this to my life. I mean, yes, you know, I've been doing some things subconsciously, you know, like walking away and giving myself space and plugging myself into something that, you know, interests me to distract me. But then I think we also need to make, you know, a little bit more conscious effort, right? And in terms of how we resolve our conflicts with the people that, so I think this is such a great conversation. So let me ask you this, you know, I was thinking, because let's even go back to the root cause. I mean, what would you say are the reasons, or what is it that, why does this conflict start anyway? Like, you know, what is it, you know, should we talk about the triggers, or, you know, is this?
Yes, let's, you want to talk about that? We talk about that, yes. Okay, so okay. I've identified, there's a series of changes when the fight or flight response kicks in. There's four changes. There's physiological changes. We talked about heart pumps harder. Lungs expand up to 1,200%. That's why we breathe deeply. blood pressure rises. Digestion stops. Some people have an involuntary bowel movement. That's to get rid of the bacteria in the stomach. In case we get cut down there, there's a greater chance of infection. That's where that that's where that saying comes, scared poopless, comes from. That actually happens in response to this fight or flight. That muscle down there relaxes and we have a bowel discharge. So there's all these physiological changes. Now, this all happens in 1/1,000,000th of a second. While this happens, the blood's getting rerouted from the front brain, which is falling asleep. Like if you ever fell asleep on a limb, that's what happens to the front brain. We can't use it because there's no blood flow or oxygen. 20% left. There's 80% has been rerouted to the back of the brain, to this crocodile brain behind our ears, which is now like the Hulk. It's super powered because it's expecting a life battle to the death, a physical altercation. So it needs to harness all the strength in muscle movement and blood flow and oxygen in order to fight to the death or flee and against the bear that's attacking it. So when this happens, blood goes to the back brain, and now there's perception changes. We get volatile, irrational, 1-1 equals 27, 93, we're all over the place. We get short-term oriented, so we only want to gratify this feeling at the moment. We're not worried about 5 minutes down the road, because if I'm dead, what does it matter? We get oppositional, and when I look that up in a dictionary, it says conflict-seeking, provocative, and, quote, taking an anti-stance, which means what we're going to do in this mindset is we're going to defend and attack. That's all we're going to do. That's all we need to do. There's no it's black and white. There's no context. There's no gray. We see you versus me. A minute before, when I was calm, I saw you as a loving partner. Now, the enemy about to harm me, and I have to harm you back. Just like that. That's the alien. And we're so acutely focused on the other party, we're blaming, we don't see ourselves, so we lose self-awareness and control. Now, our override is our front brain, our genius thinking brain, which is, instead of volatile, it's calm, irrational, rational, 1-1 equals 2, short-term, long-term, let's do what's best in the long run. This is going to have bad consequences if we act right now impulsively. Oppositional, conflict-seeking, conflict resolving. So there you got it. One wants to resolve conflict and one wants to fight. So when you try to talk through this brain, that's why they twist everything into pretzels and jujitsu you into a fight. The very words you use, they twist and distort because they're not seeking resolution. They're seeking destruction. Your destruction, you're out to eat them. You're their next meal. So they're in two different places. There's right and wrong, black or white. There's context when we're in this thinking brain. We're humble. We accept responsibility. You know, I'm sorry, honey. It was my fault. I didn't plan for rush hour traffic. You're late because of my screw up. Will you forgive me? That's pure genius brain. Back brain would rather be wrong, would rather be dead than wrong, because in its perception, if they're wrong, they are dead. That's why we can never be wrong when we're upset. It means destruction. It's over. Game over. Turn out the lights. Close the door. It's over. So that's why we have to win, you know? And then when we get calmer, we're like, oh, I'm sorry, honey. I didn't mean that. You know, you forgive me. That's, you know, that's front brain. That's our thinking genius brain. Okay. So that's change two. Change three is relationship changes. Now, here's how this plays out. Now, so something will trigger it. Look, tone, topic, thought, memory. Something outside. Mm-hmm. Somebody cuts you off on the road. You get a bill you didn't expect. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Survival brain kicks on. Crocodile brain kicks on now. So something will trigger it. Stage one, it'll trigger it. Now, for this one, we're going to set up dominoes. So here we go. I set up all these fancy dominoes, and then something happens. I don't have a break in there. And then an accident happens. The last domino hits the next one. And before we can say, oh, my goodness, I'm wiped out. I'm like, gosh, there goes 1,500 dominoes. I wasted 3 months. I have to spend all my time rebuilding, or I will, unless I put a break, because mistakes will happen. So I need to take one out or put something in every 10 or 15 so that when they start falling, I only lose 15. I don't lose 1,500. And therefore, you build on it instead of spending all your time in recovery, and you finish the project. So that's what happens. The first domino kicks in, and so something will trigger it. Look, tone, topic, memory, thought, look, hook questions, whatever it is. Now, blood reroutes. The alien enters our body. Our perception gets dark, bleak, doom, gloom. We're conflict-seeking. But we have a problem. Crocodile brain is a reciprocal brain. It needs conflict in return. Reciprocity means needing something in return. Fire, oxygen. No oxygen, no fire. So this crocodile brain needs conflict in return, but it's got a problem because one party's in crocodile brain seeking conflict, and the other one's in genius brain seeking conflict resolution. So they're not going to get their conflict, their oxygen. So what do? We go to bait the other one. We go out of our way to bait the other one into arguing. You're familiar with that, right? It happens all the time. And so how do we know? Here's an interesting point. How do we know exactly what it is to use to bait them and hurt them and pull them into an argument? Have you ever wondered about that? They know exactly what to say to push my buttons. How is it? Well, what happens is crocodile brain goes to comatose thinking genius brain and says, okay, tell me what it is that bothers them. Well, bring up this topic, give them this look, put this finger in their face, and when all else fails, criticize their mother. That will make them crazy, right? But their mother's been dead for 20 years. It doesn't matter. Bring it up anyway, right? It's not relevant to the issue. I don't care. Bring it up. Bring it up. Bring it on. So that's what they do, right? And they bring up stuff that's irrelevant 20 years, and they're like, she loved you like a baby. She's been dead for 15 years. She never loved anybody. She just loved herself. She was a selfish, you know what. And you're like, man, this person's crazy. Right? Welcome to crocodile. We all get crazy in crocodile brain, including me. That's why I try to stay out of it. So that first domino's toddling. So we work the other party until we get them to, that's the play that I was doing good until he or she put that finger in my face. That's what flew all over me. Bingo. All the dominoes are going down now, and they're going fast. So now we're into stage two, which is the infection stage. The break is off. The person in genius brain was acting as a break, no oxygen. Well, now they're also on fire, and they're feeding each other. Now let's go back to conventional approaches. What do they say? Always be honest. Get your anger out. Be honest and open about how you feel and what you think and deal with it now. Well, let's plug that in right here. What happens? I'm going to tell you what I really think, and I'm going to vomit it all over you, and you're going to do the same thing to me. So these things actually feed the whole cycle of conflict. They don't resolve anything. They make it worse. They put it on steroids. So now we're into the third stage, before you can say infection, you go into the third stage, which is the escalation stage. I also call that the feeding frenzy or the kitchen sink. That's where everything gets thrown into it. No rhyme or reason. One thing's twisted into another. Irrelevant topics, toxic words, everything. You're just out there. Crocodile brain is sensing a loss, and they're just throwing everything at it. They're drowning, flailing wildly, trying to stay above water. And then what happens is it peaks out. People pull apart. They get away. They get calmer. Blood then reroutes. We go back to our normal default setting. Most people, some people don't have this default setting, but most people go back to their default setting, and their front brain, genius brain, starts thinking again. Blood reflows there. And now suddenly it's like a light switch goes off. Bing! Oh, my goodness. What did I say and do? Oh, now you've got regrets, guilt, shame. You got this negative preoccupation going around and around in your head. You've got desire for revenge and anger and resentments out there. So now we have to pay the cost for this. We have the personal cost, which I just mentioned. We have health costs. This thing is, it's an inflammation of the body. All health problems are inflammation related. There's an inflammation at its base, from Alzheimer's to diabetes to hypertension to autoimmune. They all have inflammation as its cause. And if you can eliminate inflammation, you eliminate disease. And so what happens is where it affects our health. Episodic, for instance, getting anger out is good for you. That's what they say. Except the science says and shows that episodic anger outbursts for 2 hours afterwards increases your heart attack and stroke rate by 500%. And over time, it increases it 2,000% and cancer 3,000%. It increases autoimmune, hypertension, insulin resistance, affects how we sleep, how we store fat. They took two groups of people and they had this group of women stay on the same diet and registered their weight gain, and then they added stress to it, same diet, and they found that their weight gain was 50% more with the same exact diet. So it affects how we process food and store fat. It's the cause. 70% of doctor visits in America are stress-related. Center for Disease Control says 85% of all diseases have an emotional component. So what the conventional approaches leave out is that this isn't a two-dimensional issue. It's a three-dimensional issue. So there's health, serious health issues that are involved here. It affects inflammation, affects memory loss. Alzheimer's is growing at an exponential rate. It grew 15%. Last year. It's the third leading cause of death in America. They're saying by the year 2030, over 1 million people a year will be dying from it. It's growing so fast and there's no cures. Do you really want to be keeping this inflammation process stoked and increase the whole disease issue, the whole disease problem? Here's another interesting thing. They have a new science out called the gut-brain connection, and they're very connected. So our stomach has almost a billion brain neurons in it, and our heart has half a billion, and our brain has 86 billion, and the three are talking to each other constantly. Now, our stomach has over 5 pounds of bacteria in it that we need to survive. Over 100 trillion bacteria and fungi and microflora. And the good bacteria, the proper ratio should be 85 good, 15 bad bacteria. And the good bacteria, 95% of our serotonin is produced, guess where? Not in our head, but in our stomach by the bacteria. Isn't that interesting? So what happens is under stress, our body turns from alkaline to acidic. Right? And when it shifts to acidic, the bad bacteria flourish, the good bacteria die off, the bad bacteria are hungry. So they send a message to the brain, chemical message, that says, feed me. That's why we crave comfort foods when we're under stress. The bad bacteria likes greasy, sugary foods. And so we're feeding that horde of bacteria, which is growing. The problem is the good bacteria gets shut off. So that's why we get sad and depressed when we're under stress, because the serotonin has been shut off or at least decreased. Plus, when we add all that that sugar and carbs, it shoots up our insulin levels, and then we crash. That affects our moods, our attitude, and again, how we're going to communicate with the other person, which means usually a lot worse because we get grouchy, we snap at them, we feel bad. It just gets messed. So the thing feeds on itself. Then we take antidepressants in order to get over the depression. Antidepressants have a host of side effects. They affect libido, they cause memory loss, and they also mute the emotional response, which means you're feeling less towards your loved one. So now if you feel less for them, I don't love them anymore, well, now we got another problem. I'm less depressed, but I don't love my partner. Plus, you know, I'm losing my memory, and I have all of these, I have no sexual desire or a decreased libido. You see how complicated this whole thing gets? It's not just, the conventional approaches were put out in the 70s. Since then, we have this whole other science that has come out and said, wait a minute, this thing is a lot more complex. We have antibiotics now. We don't need to use leeches. Get rid of the leeches. They don't work. So the conventional communication approaches increase health problems. So that's just another side issue I wanted to bring out. So that's one of the costs. It affects personal peace. There's emotional issues we talked about, guilt, shame, preoccupation, negative resentments. It affects health, makes it worse. And there's also relationship costs. Communication gets increasingly chaotic. Sex becomes a battleground, a ritual, non-existent. Enjoyment drops. You don't like being around them after one of these events as much as you did before, even if it's a 5-second quickie. I got upset. I gave you the evil look. You gave me the look back. Nobody said anything. What took 0.1 seconds? The dominoes are down. Now we got to rebuild. And it also, worst of all, if that isn't bad enough, it sucks our love out of the relationship. Not only don't I like being around them as much, I don't even like them as much. So, it spirals into people, what I call the dead zone, where there's no caring left. The caring, I first discovered the dead zone when I was seeing this couple, and the man was clearly dragging in the woman. And she said, why am I here? You always make promises and you never follow through. And he said, but dear, it's this time it's different. I don't want to lose you. And so I haven't had a drink in 6 months, no women. They went through this long list. And I said to myself, man, this is impressive. I think he's got it. And she said, honey, I think you got it. And I'm happy for you, because in the next relationship, you'll make a much better husband. So I said, uh-oh, that sounds like they're in a dead zone. So that's the place that you don't want to get to. That's the bad place. So then what happens, there's another piece to this. And that's the latest brain science of neuroplasticity. Alex, have you heard of neuroplasticity? Are you familiar with that term?
Well, no, not very familiar.
Yeah, it's the latest brain science, which says we used to think that the brain stopped growing after a certain age, like 21 or throughout our life. Neuroplasticity, the brain is plastic, it's fluid, and our thoughts control our brain. So when we think of something, there's 86 billion neurons, and they communicate through synapse connections. And as they learn something, we connect with more synapse connections to more brain cells. So we're constantly expanding the computer space, if you will, gigabytes. So what happens is when we're in this negative, when we have these negative thoughts, especially when they become persistent, the body adjusts like a muscle. We now know the brain is like a muscle. If you use it, it grows. And if you don't use it, it atrophies. All right. So what we know now is that with stress and conflict that's recurring, not only do you have these ongoing health problems and relationship debris, but your brain now rewires. And it says, hey, the brain uses 30% of the body's energy. So it uses a lot for a 3% organ. So what it does is it reroutes, rather than taking more energy from the body, it reroutes from existing brain cells by shutting them down and growing others that it needs. So in chronic stress situations, what it does is it shrinks our front brain over time and grows our back brain. So what that means is it becomes our default setting. And now we're in this, you've heard people say, well, everything I say, they're always defensive. They're always attacking. Their back brain now, that's back brain, that's crocodile brain, is in their default setting. It's on automatic. And so now you have this mess. You have, when you put it all together, you have stress hits. The fight or flight response kicks in. Our lens gets darker. Our perception gets more warped. We communicate in a conflict-seeking way. So now we're getting along more poorly. So I'm not sleeping. I don't eat. I got a headache. More stress chemicals released. My lens gets darker, and I get more provocative when I communicate. We get along more poorly. And now we're in this circle, this feedback loop. Our brain jumps in here and says, hey, I need to get ready for the next battle. So it grows more crocodile brain, our brain cells, and our brain keeps getting increasingly lopsided with our back brain, doom, gloom, pessimism. You're reading negative intent to everything they do, and everything expands. Triggers expand, infections quicker, recovery escalations worse, and it lasts longer, gets longer to get over. And now you're in this self-reinforcing and escalating loop. And conventional approaches make it worse because you get to a place where if we talk about it, we get into arguments. And if we don't talk about it, we still get into arguments. We're losing. We're like in quicksand. Whatever we do, we just keep drowning. That's a horrible place to be. It's a desperate place to be. So.
You know, Phil, I mean, this has been such an amazing, and I feel like we definitely need to get you back again on the show, because this is like, I feel like, you know, we need a full class with this. Like, this is, I'm, you know, first of all, I'm so grateful that you're here to share this, and I've learned so much, and I know that the listeners, here's the thing, I have a lot of questions. But fortunately, we can take the questions because, you know, we have to wrap the show. I would love to invite you back again on the show. Maybe, you know,
great.
I don't
yes.
know. It would be nice to have you back again on the show because there are quite a number of questions, you know, people are, tweeting and hashtagging and, you know, oh God, we don't have the time to take the questions. So just before we close this, let me just ask you, where can the listeners find you? I mean, if they want to connect with you directly or ask you some more questions or reach out to you, join the webinar or take part in the course, I mean, how can they reach you?
Okay, great. Well, you know, I have a website, letstalkmorelove.com. They can reach me through that. I have a book, a Facebook site, mm-hmm. Untalk Therapy. They can contact me through mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. They can go to my website, and I have a death zone quiz. How close are you to the death zone? If they would sign up for that, take that quiz, and then if they want to sign up for my free webinar, like I talked about, they'll have an in-depth discussion with exercises and illustrations to show this very process. Because what I'm talking about here is diametrically 180 degree opposed, different than conventional approaches. But the nice thing about it is it offers an alternative. It offers hope for previously hopeless situations. And you know, that just, I mean, it's been my life quest. You know, I talked about when I was a teenager and why do people and getting into conflict and what can we do to prevent it. And after 40 years or 30, I finally found out and I want to share that with the world and decrease the misery, you know, misery. There's kids involved, there's costs, there's depression, there's suicides, there's alcohol and drug problems from relationship problems. It's a horror. It's a blight. So whatever I can do to help out would be great. So they can sign up for the course on it. And then I'm going to have a 5-part course at very low cost, in which I'm going to walk people through, have exercises, and we're going to talk about in depth about it'll be based on my future book, 5 Steps Back to Love. We're going to talk in depth about what to do with these situations. You know, and you talked about having me back since we're out of time. Maybe if you have me back, we can talk about what to do when the other party tries to pull you in And no matter what you do, you seem to be getting snagged. There is a solution for that. There is an out. So I'd love to share that with people.
I would definitely love to bring it back to you to share that, because there's to learn. I so much, and I said there's still quite a lot to learn. And here's the amazing thing. I mean, for the listeners, all they have to do is click on your name. Once they click on your name, the show notes, it takes them directly to the website, letstalkmorelove.com. So I already have that. All you have to do, if you're listening, just click on his name, you know, to look at it. It will take you straight to his website, and you can connect with him and connect with him on Facebook. So sign up for, you know, the Dead Zone quiz and see where you are right now. I think I'm just going to go right there and sign up right now on the day and just try to find out what's going on, because there's definitely so much to learn. Well, it's been such an amazing time having you here on the show, Phil, and I would definitely love to bring you back once again.
Well, thank you. And also, one more thing, if they could get on my site, Less Untalk Therapy, my Facebook site, and like it, and then we'll keep them informed of stuff going on.
Okay. Okay. That would be amazing. So, yes, make sure to go to his web, you know, his Facebook page, go to Talk Therapy and like it. And, of course, that way you can stay up to date with what's going on and, you know, what he's up to and when the new webinar is out and the cost and all of that and the new book, so that you are definitely on top of things. Thank you so much, Phil. This has been amazing, you joining me all the way from the U.S., and I would definitely, definitely love to bring you back once again. So, Well, so we'll come back again same time on Friday Radio Special with our very special guest, Elaine Flocker. Well, it's been an amazing conversation, and I'll talk to you again. Ciao.
Bye.
It's unscripted. It's unfiltered. It's uncut. It's unscripted out. It's unfiltered out. It's uncut. Damn uncensored. It's unscripted out. It's unfiltered out. It's uncut. Damn uncensored. It's a naked talk show. The naked talk show.
To the Naked Talk with Al.